Aleluia. Aleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus summoned the 12 and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He said to them, "Take nothing for the journey, neither walking stick, nor sack, nor food, nor money. But no one take a second tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. And as for those who do not welcome you, when you leave that town, shake the dust from your feet in testimony against them." Then they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and curing diseases everywhere. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Finished this morning, the third day of our 2 years' worth of study of the book of Ezra. We noticed that the last 2 days we were pondering the building of the temple. Then all of a sudden it seems a little strange that we get Ezra here arising in his wretchedness and going before the Lord in a personal and communal act of contrition before it finishes by praising the Lord for what he has done through the Persian kings. What's going on? Rebuilding a temple is hard work, but God's mercy is not exhausted. Same Lord who liberated them from Babylon was with them still. But the Lord wanted more than any other aspect of their collaboration, that building project, would be their recognition of their need for his help. It wasn't their elbow grease. It was their petition for his mercy, for his help, that was most important, because the rebuilding project was all God's work. And we need to be humble enough to allow God to do that work through us. It's not our work with a little bit of an assist from God, but always fundamentally his. And we receive that help through our recognition that we need it. Mercy in terms of forgiveness, as well as mercy in terms of assistance. And that's what Ezra grasped. So he went on up, and his praise of all the Lord had done in the past was for the present, because the same Lord who had done that is still at work. It's key for us too to grasp this lesson. We've all had big conversions in our life. Sometimes we can think that that is supposed to be in the rearview mirror. And then we're struggling with the day-to-day. And it's hard for us in some aspects that we thought we should have well conquered. But the Lord wants that whole past to teach us the lesson about his mercy in the present. The Lord continues to want to help us right here and now. Recognizing this lesson is essential for us to proclaim the gospel. Jesus, over these last several days, has been talking about a receptivity to his planting of the seed of his word within. He wants us to become true family members, hearing the Lord's word and acting on it. And that's the necessary precursor for us to be able to go out. We need to be enriched by him, especially by his mercy, and his word is a gift to that mercy, before we can ever share that with others. So now we get to the second phase of the Lord's two great verbs, come and go. Jesus summons the 12, gives them His power and authority. The only way we can receive His power and authority is when we recognize it's not ours. And we go before Him with empty hands. And He sent them with this power and authority to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Those two things go together. Pope Francis, at the beginning of his pontificate 4 years ago, gave an interview in which he said, essential for the proclamation of the gospel is we've got to heal the wounds. Heal the wounds. Heal the wounds. That people are wounded. And we must care for those wounds if they're ever going to have that good soil to be able to receive His word. So from the beginning, these two have always gone together. Proclamation of the truth, and then the charity that comes from the merciful heart of the Lord flowing through all His members. But there's also something essential here too. The one announcing with power and authority what the Lord has done and continues to do must solely be an instrument. That's why the Lord sends out with these particular instructions, totally dependent on His providence. To go out, taking nothing for the journey, neither walking stick nor sack, nor food nor money, nor a second change of clothes. In order for the Lord to shine, the minister must be humble. The minister can't be conspicuous, can't get in the way. We can't proclaim that God loves us more than the lilies of the field or the sparrows, unless we ourselves are dependent on the Lord in that way. We can't proclaim the duty to love one another unless we're actually loving those with whom we've been sent out. We can't really help people receive the Word of God unless we give them the chance to receive us together with the Word of God. And if we're totally self-sufficient, don't need anyone or anything, it's going to hinder the proclamation of the gospel. Can't proclaim if everything hasn't been filtered through the Lord's mercy. So if we're holding grudges in our wounds as we go from town to town, people aren't going to be able to receive it, because we won't be living that gospel we're announcing. That's why Jesus says, wipe the dust off. Don't hold those memories. Get a fresh start in the new place. Today the church celebrates the feast of a great saint who learned these lessons the hard way and then has sought to help the church over the last 350 years to learn them through his mistakes. St. Vincent de Paul was an extraordinarily precocious kid. His parents had sacrificed most of the animals of their farm in order to give him an education. He became ordained a priest at the shockingly young age of 19, 6 years before the canonical limit of 25. But he was entering the priesthood not for the right reasons. He was entering the priesthood to become rich and famous. He wanted to get the benefices so that he could help his parents move out of poverty. Because, not so much because he loved his parents, but because he was ashamed of his parents. When his father, who had sacrificed everything, wanted to come and visit him at the seminary, because Vincent knew he would be dressed as he was in some rags, Vincent went out to meet him far from the seminary so that none of the seminarians would see the poverty of his dad and the poverty of his family. He was ashamed. And he was looking toward the priesthood as a means to accumulate one rich benefice after another through his charm and through seeking human respect. But the Lord cured him in two ways and made him see how much he needed his mercy. First way, when he was trying to swindle a widow down by Marseille, he was captured by Barbary pirates and brought to Tunisia, where he lived in slavery for 2 years. That was a very humbling experience. the wife of his slave owner was an ex-Christian who had become a Muslim. And he was able to reconvert her. She was able to convert her husband. Once he became a Christian, he set Vincent free. But Vincent never forgot the condition of the slaves because he had experienced it. Today's gospel is fundamentally to incarnate the gospel. And Vincent was opening himself up to the incarnation of the Lord's mercy and his misery. The second part of his cure was when he had gone back to Paris and had a very wealthy roommate. One day, the wealthy roommate was robbed of 400 crowns, which is an enormous amount of money. Today, hundreds of thousands. And he accused Vincent very publicly of having been the thief. Whereas before, Vincent would have used all his wits to defend himself, to try to disprove the negative that he wasn't there. At this point, Vincent just said, "God knows the truth, I didn't take the money." It took 6 months until the real thief emerged. For those 6 months, there was a real crucifixion of Vincent's ego. And the only one on whom he could depend was God. And he learned how to do that. Afterward, he was the priest we knew. He was made a chaplain to Margaret, Queen of Valois, and later the chaplain to Count de Joigny, who was one of the more famous families in all of France. His brother was the Cardinal Archbishop of Paris, and he was in charge of the entire penal system and lots of property. This was the job of Vincent's dreams prior. But he wanted to forsake that job until the Count said, "Listen, if you stay and educate my kids so that they can become holy, I will make you the chaplain to the gallows, and I will allow you to preach throughout all my property to all the peasants." So Vincent stayed. And he worked very hard to redeem so many of those in captivity, to set them free interiorly before they were set free exteriorly. He began to preach to the peasants, and he saw just what the state of the lack of formation was. That's what led him to found the Congregation of the Mission in order to help him in that task of evangelizing the spiritually and the materially poor peasants throughout France. But he began to recognize that the reason why they were so spiritually poor is because the priests were supposed to be ministering to them as good shepherds. Themselves were so poorly formed. So he founded the first seminaries in France. He was able to persuade, with his connections, the King of France to decree that no one would be ordained a priest unless they had first done a 2-week retreat with the Vincentians. Unbelievable that that's where it all started, with 2 weeks of spiritual formation. But it was better than nothing. He was able to bring many to conversion and get some who were entering the priesthood for wrong reasons to recognize and depart. Eventually it developed into 2 years, and over the course of time into the system that we now have. But he was forming priests to have the heart of Christ, priests who would be able to be sent out living the instructions of today's gospel, priests who were able to say, like Ezra, how miserable they were, and how much they needed the Lord, and how much the Lord had done through the priesthood up until their time, and would continue to do. There's one other act that he did there in Paris, whereas he recognized how many, even in the cities, so much needed Christ, needed his healing, needed the gospel, but that he and all those priests around him couldn't do it themselves. There was a real need for maternal love in the church that men couldn't provide. So he founded the Daughters of Charity, Louise de Marillac, and started to get all these matrons using all their gifts in order to be able to lift people up in every way. Today, as we come forward, these words of the responsorial psalm echo. So now, consider what God has done for you and praise Him with full voice. Ezra's voice resonates today. Vincent's voice resonates. Let's join our voice to theirs and then go out with nothing for the journey except God. And let that message of mercy resonate throughout Manhattan.